Hi, and welcome to the 90s podcast, an aviation podcast. I'm Matteo, a former Mirage 2000 fighter pilot, currently flying the Airbus A330 as a commercial pilot in Asia. In this podcast, I will interview pilots and entrepreneurs, talking about flying, careers, and commitments. From military pilots, commercial aviators, aerobatic junkies to influencers, we will go through their unique journey in a one-on-one interview. Together, we will identify the lessons learned of their careers and the future plans they're looking forward to achieve. If you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcast, Deezer, or Spotify. You can as well follow me on Instagram on my professional account, 9G's Consulting, and click on the link for any inquiry. And now, let's stop cheap talks. Squeeze and get ready for the G-load. Today, our episode special guest is Major Peck. He is a French fighter pilot, test pilot, engineer, and aviation lover. He logged more than 2,500 flying hours, flying more than 40 types of aircraft. During the Libyan conflict, he flew 14 war missions, including some mixed fighter forces operations with multiple foreign air forces. Here is a quick highlight of our conversation.
What you can do, for example, is, okay, you take off and you go up in the air, and then the guy says, okay, I give you the F-16 bare airframe, so for with that computer. So you know that the F-16 is unstable, like any modern fighter jet. So you try to fly it, and it's pretty awesome, because every time you make an input, it's going to be amplified, and at the end, you lose control. So it's pretty fun.
And now, without any further ado, Major Peck. Hi Peck, and thank you for coming here. How are you today, buddy?
I'm pretty good. Hello.
So Peck, you're a fighter pilot, you're a test pilot, graduated from the US Air Force Test Pilot School. But first of all, can you tell to the audience, how did you went to aviation?
Well, I've been an aviation enthusiast since I was a kid. I don't really know when it started, but I know that I lived in a place where a lot of fighter jets overflew my house, and that's maybe the reason why I started loving aviation. So since I was a kid, I started to want to be a pilot and to be an aviation enthusiast. I started flying when I was 14 at my local air club, and I had my first wings, let's say, when I had the private pilot license when I was 17. So, you know, it started when I was really young, and then I chose to make it my career and to make it my job, and I had the chance to be able to do that.
So you joined the French Air Force in the early 2000s. Can you describe your military curriculum to us?
Sure. So I joined the French Air Force Academy in 2002, which is an officer academy. So it took me 3 years to be graduated. And the third year at the time was specialization for the pilot course. So it started at the third year of the academy. And just after that, I started doing my flying course. So the third year of the specialization was the ATPL, the Air Transport Pilot License, that we passed during 6 to 8 months. And then we started the flying course. At the time, I flew the Tucano for the two first phases. And then I went to tour to the fighter school to fly the Alpha Jet. And I had my fighter pilot wings in 2007. I made my, what we call the operational transition school in Cazaux, southwest part of France, the best part of France. So I made that course. At the end of that, we choose the choice with our grades and what the availabilities in the squadrons are. We can choose the squadrons, and I had the chance to choose the great 1-2 squadron, which is a Stork squadron, a very
squadron.
Aha. And so I went to that squadron in 2008. I started flying the OCU, the Operation Conversion Unit, on the Mirage 2000 in 2008, and then I went to the squadron, and I became an operational pilot from the Mirage 2000-5 in 2009. 2010, I was 2 ship lead and 4 ship lead in 2000. 2011, and my last, let's say, qualification was a mission commander, because I had the chance to make the tactical leadership program course in Albacete, Spain, in 2012. So that was my last qualification as an operational squadron pilot.
So you were lucky enough to do an adversary tour in the US Air Force Test Pilot School. During your course and during your current job, you flew various types of aircraft, from fighters to transport, light propeller aircraft. What is really being a test pilot today? What aircraft do you fly? What are your main missions?
Sure. Being a test pilot depends on the country you are living in. For if you're working for a company, for example, or if you're working for a government or for an air force. So far as I am concerned, in France, I work, I'm still a French Air Force pilot, but I work for the French DGA, which is a procurement agency, which deals with all the testing and the purchase of the for the forces. What's my job today is to test aircraft, systems, and weapons for the forces to make them have the best systems, to give them what they need, and to make them fly safely. So that's maybe the most important. So what we do, especially me in a center where we are specialized with weapons and system testings, and we deal with, for example, all the new bombs, the integration of new bombs or weapons or flares or shafts. We deal with the improvements of radars, electronic warfare systems, optical pods, IR pods, or stuff like that, you know. So we deal with that. And to do that, we have a couple of different aircrafts, and we can fly from the TBM 700, PC-7, to the Alpha Jet, Mirage 2000, Fokker 100, which is the flight test bed, or Falcon 20, or heavies like the C-130, C-160, Airbus A400M, whatever. We can't do all the aircrafts, but as far as I'm concerned, I fly 7 to 8 different aircrafts, which is quite much, and it's maybe my limit now, but it's great.
Which is awesome to fly 7 different type of aircraft. I know that during your formation in the States, you flew various types of aircraft, from the Vista, Super Hornet, Hydras, and transports. What are the main differences flying French aircraft versus flying US aircraft?
The course in the US Air Force Test Pilot School is the objective of the test pilot schools, because there are many different schools. The objective is to give you as much experience as they can, because you are supposed to be able to fly a brand new aircraft and you don't know what's going to happen, right? Maybe you can have some predictions, some simulations, but maybe something's going to happen and you don't know what. The objective is to have a lot of experience to be able to adapt in the air and to be able to try to predict and to try to know what to do if something happened that which was not expected in the air. So that's why they make you fly a lot of different aircraft. And I flew something like 30 different aircrafts during the year, which is pretty awesome. But concerning your question, which is the differences between the French type, the French-made aircrafts and the US-made aircrafts, what I can say is that first of all, for the jet fighters, the main difference is size, right? When you look at them, even the F-16, F-15, they're something like at least 50% bigger than our aircrafts. And that's something you can see definitely in the cockpit. After that, you've got different philosophies with the system, the equipments are set together in the cockpits. But nowadays, you have the pretty much the same idea. You've got, you know, traditional T with the instruments. You will find that in all the aircrafts all around the world now. But it's after, when you go into the systems, that you will have different philosophies, which is that you have to adapt. But after that, I mean, the main difference may be size. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Do you feel the size difference flying the Super Hornet compared to the F-16 Vista?
No, definitely not. Well, the Vista is one special aircraft, right? It's a unique. Flying the F-16 of the F-18, you won't feel the size different, or the F-15, which is really huge aircraft. That aircraft is just huge, but you don't feel it when you fly it. And I mean, you know what it is, because you fly the Airbus 330. I mean, you don't feel it really. I mean, that thing is several hundred tons of metal, and you don't feel it when you fly it, right? That's the objective of the manufacturer when they design an aircraft. They want you to feel it. I mean, they want you to fly like you used to fly your last aircrafts, more or less, right? So I mean, you don't feel the difference of size when you fly the F-16 or the F-15 and then the Mirage 2000s. They've got differences in the flight characteristics, but you don't feel really the difference in size.
You talked a little bit about it previously, but fighter-wise, you flew the Mirage 2000, the F-16 Viper, the Super Hornet, and now the Rafale. What is flying a 4.5-generation fighter compared to your legacy fighter jets?
Well, in the past, the aircraft, better aircraft meant better performances, right? Better flight characteristics, more maneuverable, faster, higher, stuff like that. Nowadays, it's different. We tend to be maybe less fast, less maneuverable. Well, it depends, but maybe you will have less performances, but you need better systems, right? That's the gap between all the generations of aircrafts now. That's the sensor fusion. Systems, connectivity. These are the keywords of the next fighter jets in the future. So when you fly the Rafale, it's really maneuverable. It's really capable. It's quite fast. You've got really nice performances. However, what's really important on that aircraft and what's amazing with that aircraft, that you've got all the sensor fusion in the aircraft. You've got a lot of systems which talk together and which are important for your mission. So you've got an optical sensor on the nose, you've got a radar, you've got an electronic warfare system with a jammer and a detection, you've got the pods, these systems which are connected, which are all together, and you've got more and more systems. And aircrafts tend to be more independent. I mean, what's at stake now? At stake is flying autonomous aircraft with artificial intelligence, flying drones at the same time with the legacy aircraft. And that's an exciting moment because we're at a turning point in aviation. So we'll see what's going to happen.
Talking about drones, do you have any drone qualification or you fly only a manned aircraft?
No, I don't. I don't fly drones or UAVs or UCAVs, whatever. A couple of friends of mine in the US that was brand new UAVs pilot, and they were able to make the test pilot school as a UAV pilot. So it was pretty awesome. So it means that in the US they want to make a step forward to have test pilots, but test drone pilots. But we don't have that in France, and I'm not a drone pilot.
Perhaps this fact is because the US use a lot of drones in their operations today, and that's why they have these kind of features.
Sure, but we'll have the same issues in France in the future. So, well, we're just a little bit behind, and it will change in the future.
Yes, and the French Air Force armed some drones in the end of 2019, so perhaps it's gonna change in that way. I know you flew the F-16 Vista, and it looks like being a very nice bench for the test pilot formation. Can you describe the Vista for us?
Sure. The Vista is a unique aircraft. It's there's only one built, and it's dedicated to flying for the U.S. Air Force test pilot school. It's operated by Calspan Corporation, and the aircraft is always at their Edwards Air Force Base. That's a really unique aircraft because that's the only F-16 with a central stick. So you've got the normal side stick, but you've got also a central stick, which works only when the guy in the back seat allows you to fly it. And that's really awesome. I mean, that's an aircraft that, for example, the engineers fly from the front seat because the real pilot and system operator at the same time it on the back seat. So it's pretty awesome. So how it works, it's a legacy F-16D, and they changed, they put a lot of computers in the aircraft, and they make you fly in the air. So they take off from the back seat, and when you're in the air, they insert flight characteristics to the aircraft, artificially to the computer. Then you've got that central stick, which comes up, and you are able to fly with different characteristics. So, for example, you fly with and stable aircraft. You can fly with you can try to figure out what the characteristic as far as, for example, the short periods is concerned or damping, or you try to find the different characteristics and you are able to see in the air what the theory says on the ground, right? So first you study what the theory is about, for example, longitudinal or lateral directional stability, and you go up in the air and you see exactly what you saw on the ground in the books. So that's pretty awesome. You do it with a Learjet and with the F-16 as well. And as I said, it's a unique aircraft. There's only one operated by CALSPAN at Edwards Air Force Base. All the others test pilot schools don't fly this aircraft. So it's a really unique aircraft. It's awesome. And I was able to make my TMP, which is my US Air Force test pilot school. You have a project. And this project for my group was on the F-16 Vista. So it was really awesome to fly this aircraft even more than the other guys in my class.
So flying the Vista, you can load only some aerodynamical features. I thought you were able to load some software like flying the Super Hornet or the Strike Eagle.
No. The objective is not to fly the software or a system, it's to see the flight characteristics of the aircraft. So what you can do, for example, is, okay, you take off and you don't take off, you're in the front seat. So the guy in the back seat take off. You go up in the air, and then the guy says, okay, I give you the F-16 bare airframe. So with that computer, so you know that the F-16 is unstable, like any modern fighter jet. So you try to fly it, and it's pretty awesome, because every time you make an input, it's going to be amplified, and at the end, you lose control. So it's pretty fun. You've got a lot of safety measures in the aircraft, safety systems. And at the moment, the aircraft says stop and gives the control back to the back seat. It's pretty awesome. So, but for example, you could say to the aircraft, hey, I give you the flight characteristics of the C-130 or the, I don't know, the Airbus, whatever. You can give whatever characteristic you can to the aircraft, and the computer will try to deal with that. It's really interesting because it gives you an overview of what your job could be flying a brand new aircraft, right? You go up in the air and you say, okay, there's something wrong with that aircraft. What's going on? I don't know what's happening. And you try to find out what it is. You can say, hey, I don't know, there's something wrong with the damping, or it's too much high gain. You know, you can't fly that aircraft because it's really high gain. And the guy in the back seat will say, hey, maybe not. It's maybe because your stick is maybe not well fit, because maybe there's something wrong with the stick. And you start talking about that and try to find out what's wrong with the aircraft. And it's pretty awesome. It's really fun. It's really interesting, and you have to be very humble, because most of the time when you try to find out what's going on, you're just wrong. But it's really interesting. And as I said, this experience, you keep it in mind, and then you have this experience that you can transpose to your real flights when you fly after that with brand new aircraft or with new systems or with new weapons, or maybe something's going to happen wrong, and this experience can give you clues to know what's going on, and that's why it's really interesting.
Yeah, awesome. It looks like a very nice formation bench from my point of view. During your operational tour in the GC-12 Stork flying from Luxeuil-Dijon Air Force bases, I know you took part in 2011 in the Operation Unified Protector. How was your tour during this conflict?
During this conflict, when it started, we had already worked on the operation for a couple of days or maybe weeks. So when it started, we were already in the starting blocks. We were ready because we had already worked on it. So I took part in the preparation as the electronic warfare officer of the squadron. And I had to deal with that, and I had to manage the electronic warfare team to give all the tools for all the pilots of the squadron as far as electronic warfare is concerned. So detection, jamming, threats, and tactics employed. And then when it started, I was part of third or fourth team which was supposed to fly during the first days. And unfortunately, we stopped quite quickly because after the first missions, the coalition launched a couple of Tomahawks on the Libyan airfields. It meant that the air defense, the Libyan air defense, was unable to fly. And so we were not mandatory for the next missions. After that, we ensured air defense missions with the Qatar Air Force to protect their C-17 flying to Libya to make humanitarian missions. And we had a couple of extra missions to protect electronic warfare assets or detection assets or other kind of missions. But they were really specific and it depending on the situation. So we had most of our missions were to protect the C-17 over Libya for a couple of hours during the mission.
So during this operation, you've done only air-to-air missions because it was the main mission of your squadron at that time. I know you flew guys with some foreign air forces, especially the Qatari Air Force. How was it on the battlefield? Did you have the lead? Did they have the lead? How was it flying with them?
Well, you know how it is, but we are used to flying with other nations, right? Because nowadays we make a lot of exercises with coalitions and with a lot of nations, and so we knew them already. So we asked them what they wanted to do, if they wanted to take the lead or what were the qualifications, and mainly they let us lead the patrols. And so we met patrols of two Mirage 2000 flying together, one French and one Qatari, and we flew together and we had mainly the lead. Some of them took the lead for the missions, but it was not every time. Most of the time it was us. And I mean, it was not a surprise. We were used to flying with them already, so as I said, it was not hard.
Yeah, especially perhaps because you were flying the same Mirage 2000 version. So that's why perhaps it helps a little bit. So you flew in this operation from Dijon, from Corsica, and from Crete. Can you describe your first war mission? How did you do to go through this mission? Did you a little bit meditate or mentalize anything?
Well, I don't remember exactly the first mission I made from Crete, but the two main points I remember for that operation is first the preparation we made in advance before the operation was so good that we were able to fly without any trouble. I mean, we were not afraid. We were ready to fly, and I didn't need any meditation or to call me back anything. I mean, everything was written on the board. Everything was prepared, well, the thought. So we were ready. When you're ready, you don't need to. You can rethink about it and maybe remind it if you fly a couple of weeks after. At the beginning, we were so ready. I mean, we could not breathe. Maybe, you know, I mean, we were so ready. We could not need a briefing to fly. Well, so that's the first point. If you're ready, you're ready. You don't think about it. And then the second mission, I remember, we needed a little more preparation. It was after, it was one specific mission we made. It was with a French only mission, and we had to fly, try to find helicopters, Libyan helicopters, because they flew the day before and they dropped rockets on a harbor by night. So we tried to take off and to try to catch them. And it was maybe the most memorable mission I made during this operation. We had to think about the mission and we had to prepare it. And we had to make not meditation, but to prepare and to think about any detail, especially because if you have to employ the force and if you have to launch missiles on them, you have to be prepared.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you used chair flights, being a young student pilot, just to prepare the flights. But it's true that at that time you had some experience and you were a very experienced pilot.
I was old two-ship lead. So I was about to start my four-ship lead training at that time. So yeah, I was quite experienced. But yes, you mentalize a mission. Maybe you can chair flight. I don't chair flight, but when I prepare the mission, I try to fly it in my head when I write on a paper on a board the details of the mission. So it's a sort of mentalization for sure.
Yes, for sure. I think that a lot of pilots use chair flight because chair flight helps you to build muscle memory. And I personally have done a lot of chair flights when I was a young student, a trainee for the Air Force. And then it helped me a lot to build muscle memory and to be efficient in my learning. Now, you are at the top of your career flying the Rafale and a lot of aircraft type in Kazo Air Force Base. If you look behind your shoulder, what would you do differently?
Well, seriously, I don't have any regret of what I've made. I'm so happy I was able to fly in the squadron I wanted. I've been, I flew the aircraft I wanted. I went to the squadron I wanted to be. I flew the mission I loved. I made so many different missions. I've got so many great memories. I can't regret anything. And I don't think I would change anything. Everything was, it was worth it. Right. And I don't regret anything. I wouldn't change anything. And I hope anybody flying, doing aviation, its job, will feel the same. I mean, if it's your passion, you won't regret anything.
Yeah, awesome. I can't agree more with you. Right now, do you have any major lessons learned you want to share with the audience?
Look forward, keep motivated, and never forget the advices somebody gave me when I arrived in a squadron. If you want to be a fighter pilot in a squadron, you've got to be the best in the air, the best on the ground, and part of the team. These are the main lessons I've got. And to keep motivated, to keep your motivation, always try to find one moment in the flight that is memorable. And you have, because sometimes you will make a shitty flight, or you will have to face a bad moment, or you will feel bad and you will have bad grades or whatever. Or maybe something will be wrong in your life or whatever. But every time, trying to find one moment you can keep in mind and you can remember and think about that moment and forget the rest. And you will continue to go forward.
I agree 100% with you, Peck. I left the Air Force a couple of months ago at the end of 2019. And I can tell you that building memories is very important because the fighter pilot life goes at Mach 2. And when it's done, it's done. You can't go back. And you need those memories in a corner of your head. So now, Peck, what's next for you?
I've got no idea, sir. I'll try to continue flying as much as I can. And then I may have to make a couple of tours in the headquarters. And then I'll see if I've got any opportunity to do anything else. I don't know. I've got no idea about it. But for sure, I will continue flying. If it's in the Air Force or in an air club, I will continue flying for sure. That's the only thing I know. The rest, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. If they put you on a headquarter, just come with us, fly the Airbus. It's a very smooth life and you will enjoy it for sure. Do you have anything you want to add?
No. Nope. No.
Okay, Peck, thank you very much for coming here. It was a pleasure to have you as a guest for the first episode of the 90s podcast. We wish you a lot of flights and nice flights, flying all those various aircraft you fly in the southwest of France. And see you, buddy.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Have a nice flight too, buddy. And I hope to see you next time.
You've been listening to the 90s podcast, an aviation podcast. If you liked this podcast, subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcast, Deezer, Stitcher, or Spotify. You can follow us on Instagram on my professional account, 9Gs Consulting. Click on the link for any inquiries. Thank you again. See you next time and fly safe. Bye.